Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by for JinkoSolar Holding Co., Ltd.'s second and third quarter 2025 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After management's prepared remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the meeting over to your host for today's call, Ms. Stella Wang, JinkoSolar's Investor Relations. Please proceed, Stella.
Thank you, Operator. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for JinkoSolar's second and third quarter 2025 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding Co., Ltd., Mr. Gener Miao, CMO of JinkoSolar Co., Ltd., Mr. Kan Li, CFO of JinkoSolar Holding Co., Ltd., and Mr. Charlie Cao, CFO of JinkoSolar Co., Ltd. Mr. Li will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Kan Li, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under the applicable law. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding. Mr. Li will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead,
Mr. Li.
In the first three quarters of 2025, our global module shipments totaled 61.9 GW, once again ranking number one worldwide. Driven by our outstanding product performance and strong presence in high-value overseas markets, gross margin improved sequentially for two consecutive quarters to 2.9% in the second quarter and 7.3% in the third quarter. Net loss continued to narrow sequentially. We are pleased to see that our intensive efforts devoted to storage, R&D, and products in the past 2 years started to bear fruit gradually. In the first three quarters, our cumulative energy storage system, the ESS shipments, exceeded 3.3 GWh, increasing significantly for two consecutive quarters. This, combined with the rising share of overseas markets, has helped the profitability of our energy storage business improve noticeably. Considering that energy storage products have the process of installation, commissioning, and acceptance, there will be a lag in revenue recognition in our financial statements. We are confident that as economics of scale accelerate and competitiveness continues to improve, our energy storage business will more than double next year. Its revenue contribution is expected to rise significantly and serve as a key driver of our overall gross margin expansion.
二季度和三季度，我们的组件开工率维持在合理水平。三季度以来，上游硅料硅片电池环节有一定幅度的涨价，组件价格稳中有升。由于136号文下课程的竞价机制仍在落地中，央国区终端顶项目收益率的测算和商业模式需要一定的时间，预计需求的释放仍需要一定时间。 但行业从原料环节呈现积极的信号，受原料材料价格上涨推动，海外组件价格也有所上涨。
In the second and third quarter, we continued to keep module utilization rates at a reasonable level. Since the third quarter, prices of polysilicon, wafers, and cells have all risen, and module prices showed some upward trends. Given that feeding rules in all provinces are still in the implementation phase, central and state-owned enterprises need some time to recalculate their IR returns and adjust their business models for end projects. It is expected that demand will take some time to release. However, we have seen some positive signals in the raw material segment. Supported by rising raw material prices, module prices in overseas markets have also increased.
高功率的产能的升级成为加快行业高质量发展的重要方向。 这也契合了终端客户对高中立产品的需求，以实现更可靠的投资回报。我们作为行业率先进行产能升级的公司，三季度的高功率产品升级稳步推进，目前已交付了部分高功率的非负系列产品，相较卫生系的产品溢价在1到2个美分。随着最高功率可达到670瓦的非氟酸系列产品逐渐完成升级改造。 我们预计2026年的高功率产品的出货量占比会逐渐提升，2026年全年高功率产品的出货占比不低于60%。
The upgrade toward higher power production capacity has become an important direction for accelerating industry high-quality development. This technical upgrade also meets end customers' demand for high-power products to achieve more reliable investment returns. As an industry pioneer to upgrade existing TOPCon capacity through technology enhancements, we made steady progress in high-power products upgrades in the third quarter. We have already delivered some high-power products carrying a premium of 1 to 2 US cents per watt compared to the conventional products. As upgrade of the third generation, Taiganew products with maximum power of 670 watts is completed. We expect the shipment proportion of high power products to increase quarter over quarter next year, accounting for 60% or above in 2026.
136号文取消强制配储后，国内储能正在加速市场化，峰谷价差的拉大叠加容量电价、容量补偿等政府支持。 多个省份的独立储能项目可实现较好的经济性，在经济性和能源转动的转型的驱动下，海外如欧洲、亚太、中东、拉美等地区需求也多点开花。在美国 ，AI 算力中心的迅速扩张及制造业带来制造业增长带来前所未有的电力需求，而本土电力供应面临挑战，包括加储能成为更安全、更易部署的方案。 预计全球储能需求将在新能源、上投力提升与储能系统成本下降的双重驱动下迎来了爆发性的增长。这也充分印证了我们在储能业务的前瞻性布局是顺应行业发展的正确选择。我们也积累了长期的竞争优势。作为光伏领域的头部企业，我们拥有长期积累的渠道、品牌和客服资源优势，可以为客服提供本土化一站式的光储解决方案。 在制导端，公司目前拥有12个吉瓦时的系统集成产能和5个吉瓦的电芯产能。通过自研技术突破，不断提升储能产品的性能和竞争力。市场上，我们聚集了高毛利的海外市场，重点覆盖了大型储能和工商业项目。交付周期较长，但需求旺盛，为公司储能的业务提供了稳定且可持续的增长动力。
Since market-based electricity reform has removed the mandatory energy storage requirements, China's energy storage industry is accelerating its market-oriented development. With the increasing gap between peak and off-peak electricity prices and the implementation of policies such as capacity pricing and capacity compensation, independent energy storage projects in multiple provinces can achieve sound economic returns. Driven by both improving economics and a global energy transition, demand is increasing in Europe, Asia-Pacific, Middle East, and Latin America. In the U.S., the rapid expansion of AI data centers has led to an unprecedented surge in electricity demand, straining domestic electricity supply. Solar plus storage has therefore emerged as a safer and more easily deployed solution. We expect global demand for energy storage to experience explosive growth, driven by increasing renewable energy penetration and declining storage system costs. This once again validates our strategic decision to invest in the energy storage business in line with our industry trends, and it has helped us to build a long-term competitive advantage. As a leading enterprise in the PV sector, we possess long-established advantages in channels, brand reputation, and customer resources, enabling us to provide a localized one-stop solar plus storage solution. On the manufacturing side, we currently have 12 gigawatt-hour of pack capacity and 5 gigawatt-hour of battery cell capacity, and continuously improve product performance through self-developed technological breakthroughs. On the market side, we focus on high-margin overseas markets, particularly utility-scale and industry and commercial projects. Although delivery cycles are relatively long, demand remains strong, providing stable and sustainable growth momentum for the company's energy storage business.
整体来看，全球供应链正在加快重塑，供需平衡逐渐改善。随着技术的升级，推动行业高质量的发展，高功率、高价值的产品市场份额将逐渐扩大，成为价格的引领者。随着招投标市场竞争更加注重技术能力和长期可靠性等综合能力好的头部企业，银行融资等资源也正向头部企业集中，龙头份额有望进一步的提升。凭借强大的技术能力、长期的可靠性以及我们关注一体化业务的全球多元化，我们的竞争力将进一步增强，并有望在行业的下一轮上升周期中受益。
In summary, the global supply chain is reshaping, and the balance between supply and demand is gradually improving. As technological upgrades accelerate industry high-quality development, the market share of high-power and high-value products will continue to expand and become a dominant force in market pricing. As market competition, particularly in project bidding, increasingly favors leading enterprises that demonstrate strong technological capabilities and long-term reliability, resources such as bank financing are also concentrating towards leading enterprises, further strengthening their market share. With strong technological capabilities, long-term reliability, and global diversification of our energy storage business, we are well positioned to further strengthen our competitiveness and benefit from the industry next upward cycle.
近期国家对新能源行业的支持力度持续加强，十五五规划意见明确提出加快能源供应端与消费端的低碳化。国家发改委能源局近期发布了关于促进新能源消纳与电力调控的指导意见，进一步加强了储能在新型能源体系建设中的关键作用。我们预期这些措施将进一步提升中国新能源行业的竞争力，推动行业长期回归到健康合理的发展轨迹。
The 15th Five-Year Plan proposed accelerating the decarbonization of both the energy supply and the consumption sectors. The National Development and Reform Commission, NDRC, and the National Energy Administration, the NEA, have also recently issued guidance on promoting renewable energy integration and power system regulation, further emphasizing the critical role of energy storage in the construction of a new energy system. We expect that these measures will further strengthen the competitiveness of China's renewable energy sector and steer the industry back onto a healthy and rational development path.
展望四季度及全年，我们将积极持续响应行业高质量发展的要求，合理控制开工率，聚焦高效产能的升级改造，同时积极应对海外的政策的变化，保障对客户的持续可持续供应。我们也会不断强化在技术创新和全球化方面的竞争优势，实现规模和利润的平衡，巩固龙头地位。2025年全年含组件电池硅片的总出货量预计将在85个 G 瓦到100个 G 瓦，全年储能出货预计在6个 G 瓦。
Looking forward to the fourth quarter and the full year, we will continue to actively respond to the industry's call for rational development by maintaining reasonable production levels and focusing on upgrading and transforming high-efficiency capacity. At the same time, we will proactively adapt to changes in overseas policies to ensure sustainable supply for our customers.We will keep strengthening our competitive advantages in technology and global operations, achieve a balance between scale and profitability while consolidating our industry-leading position. We expect the total shipments, including solar modules, cells, and wafers, to be between 85 gigawatts to 100 gigawatts for the full year of 2025, and ESS shipments to be 6 gigawatt hour for the full year.2025.
Thank you, Missy. Total shipments were 21.5 gigawatts in the third quarter, with module shipments accounting for 93%. By the end of third quarter, we became the first module manufacturer in the industry to achieve a cumulative global module shipments of 370 gigawatts, with total cumulative shipments of Tiger Neo series surpassing 200 gigawatts, the best-selling module series inHistory. In terms of a geographic mix, in the third quarter, we focused on high-value overseas markets with shipments accounting for over 65%, achieving strong growth in Asia-Pacific, emerging markets, and Europe. Shipments to the U.S. were nearly 1.3 gigawatts in the third quarter, doubled sequentially. Against the backdrop of the electricity market reform,Customer demand for high-power products continues to rise. Our high-power Tiger Neo 3.0 series, with its bifaciality rate of 85% and excellent low-light performance, can generate stable electricity during storm, dust, and cloudy weather, effectively extending power generation hours. At the same time, in a market environment with increasing volatility in electricity spot prices,The outstanding power generation performance of Tiger Neo 3.0 enables more power generation during peak price periods in the morning and evening, creating higher yield and more reliable returns for clients. According to our outdoor field test data in Chengdu, China, under low light conditions such as storm and dust, Tiger Neo achieves a 7.2% gain compared to BC products. And in Kagoshima, Japan, Tiger Neo shows 10.79% yield gain over BC products in low light conditions. In the third quarter, we delivered some high power products that carried 1 to 2 US cents premium compared to conventional products. We expect our high powerTiger Neo 3.0 product with maximum power of up to 670 watt peak to be produced in large scale next year, further strengthening our competitiveness on the product side. We once again topped the PV Test 2025 Q3 module check bankability report with AAA ratings thanks to our solid operational capabilities.Outstanding technological innovation and a strong recognition from global customers. As one of the few enterprises to continuously maintain top-tier creditworthiness and technological strength in the global PV industry, In the latest release of BNEF Energy Storage Tier 1 list of 4Q2025, we were recognized as Tier 1 energy storage provider for the 7th consecutive quarter. Our continuous efforts in sustainable development have also earned international recognition repeatedly. In the recent MSCI ESG rating, we were upgraded to an A rating, maintaining our position in the top tier of ESG performers in the global PV industry. Additionally, our S&P CSA score continued to improve from 2024, rising significantly to 78, far ahead of the industry. On the demand side, we expect the global PV demand to slightly contract in 2026. In China, due to the implementation of policy reform 136, the pace of carrying out 15th five-year plan, as well as industry self-discipline and anti-involution measures, demand is expected to slightly decrease year over year in 2026. Markets outside China are generally expected to remain healthy. In the mid to long term, the urgent power demand from AI data centers, combined with most countries' commitments to reduce carbon emissions, will jointly drive growth in the global deployment of clean energy and a new grid infrastructure over the next 3 to 5 years. The Information Office of State Council recently released the white paper of China's action on carbon peaking and carbon neutrality, which emphasizes that energy storage is a key support for building a new type of power system and advocates actively developing the renewable energy plus energy storage solutions. In the United States, we are already seeing some tech giants deploying co-located or nearby solar plus storage at their data centers to meet rapidly growing electricity needs. We believe renewable energy plus energy storage has become an inevitable and accelerating trend. We remain optimistic about the long-term prospects of the U.S. market. Although trade policies impose certain constraints on the manufacturing side, we have taken proactive measures and made early strategic deployments, adjusting our manufacturing and supply chains in response to policy changes, to provide U.S. customers with long-term, stable, and reliable solutions. We are confident that leveraging our advantage in technology innovation, high-power products, and global network, we can continue to satisfy our global clients' demand for clean, safe, high-efficiency, and reliable integrated solar and storage solutions. We will also continue to improve our competitiveness in global markets.
Thank you, General. We are pleased that our focus on high-performance products and high-value markets, as well as our efforts in cost and expenses control, have delivered steadily improved financial results. Gross profit margin turned positive in the second quarter and continued to improve by 4.4 percentage points in the third quarter. Net loss and adjusted net loss narrowed sequentially for two consecutive quarters. Operating cash flow was $340 million in the third quarter, improving significantly quarter over quarter. Operating cash flow is expected to be positive for the full year 25. Moving to the details in the third quarter, total revenue was $2.27 billion, down 10% sequentially and 34% year over year. The sequential decrease was mainly due to a decrease in the solar module shipments, and the year-over-year decrease was primarily due to a decrease in average selling price of solar modules. Gross margin was 7.3%, The sequential improvement was mainly due to a lower unit cost product sold, and the year-over-year decrease was mainly due to the decrease in ASP of solar modules. Total operating expenses were 363 million, up 36% sequentially and down 32% year-over-year. The sequential increase was primarily due to an increase in the impairment of long-lived assets, while the year-over-year decrease was mainly due to the decrease in shipping cost of solar module shipment decrease and an average freight rate decline during the third quarter this year. Total operating expenses accounted for 16% of total revenues, compared to 10.6% in the second quarter and 15.4% in the third quarter last year. Operating loss margin was 8.7%, compared with operating loss margin of 10.7% in the second quarter this year, and operating profit margin of 0.3% in the second quarter last year. Moving to the balance sheet. At the end of the third quarter, our cash and cash equivalents were 3.3 billion, compared with 3.4 billion in the end of the second quarter of 2025, and 3.2 billion at the end of third quarter of 2024. AR turnover days were 105 days, compared with 97 days in the second quarter. Inventory turnover days were 90 days, compared with 66 days in the second quarter this year. At the end of the third quarter, total debt was 6.4 billion, compared to 6.7 billion at the end of second quarter. Net debt was 3.1 billion, compared with 3.3 billion at the end of second quarter this year. Debt conditions improved sequentially. Let me go into more details of the second quarter. Total revenue was 2.51 billion, up 30% sequentially and down 25% year-over-year. The sequential increase was primarily due to increase in the solar module shipments, while the year-over-year decrease was mainly due to a decrease in the ASP of solar modules. Gross margin was 2.9%. The sequential improvement was mainly due to a lower unit cost of product sold, while year-over-year decrease was mainly due to the decrease in the ASP of modules. Total operating expenses were 266 million, down 24% sequentially and 50% year-over-year. The sequential decrease was mainly due to the reduced expected credit loss expense in the second quarter, while the year-over-year decrease were mainly due to three points: a decrease in the impairment of long-lived assets, reduced expected credit loss expenses, and decreased shipping costs as the average freight rate declined during the second quarter this year. Total operating expenses accounted for 10.6% of total revenues, compared to 18.1% in the first quarter of 2025, and 16.9% in the second quarter of 2024. Operating loss margin was 7.7%, compared to 20.7% in the first quarter this year, and 4.7% in the second quarter last year. Moving to the balance sheet. At end of the second quarter, our cash and cash equivalents was 3.4 billion, compared with 3.77 billion at end of the first quarter this year, and 1.9 billion at the end of the second quarter last year. AR turnover days were 97 days, compared with 111 days in the first quarter this year. Inventory turnover days was 66 days, compared to 84 days in the first quarter. Our operating efficiency is improving. At the end of the second quarter, total debt was 6.7 billion compared to 6.4 billion at the end of the first quarter. Net debt was 33.3 billion compared to 2.6 billion at the end of the first quarter this year. This concludes our prepared remarks. We're now happy to take your questions. Operator, please proceed.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Philip Shen with Roth Capital Partners.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. First one's on your gross margins. Can you share some color on what you see as the difference between yours and Canadian Solar's? They reported recently 15%. You guys have Q3 gross margins at about 7%. What was the main driver, you think, for that underperformance? And then can you provide some color on the storage and solar gross margin difference? And then finally, what do you think margins look like for Q4? Thanks.
Thanks, Philip. And I think, you know, compared to our peer, particularly the Canadian Solar, the gross margin difference is, the different revenue contribution from the energy storage business. But if you look at the Jinko, quarter by quarter, we did improve gross margin dramatically. It's coming from majority, the module business. But for the energy storage sectors, we did want to have a very, very positive update. I think in the prepared remarks of Chairman Lee, and we think our energy storage business is ready for the dramatically growth in next year, 2026. And we are expecting significant revenue contributions and gross margin expansions. And the storage is really in supply shortage. And this year we shift around 6 gigawatt hours shipments. And next year we expect to at least double. And in terms of revenue recognition, it's a little bit different because the revenue is recognized for the shipments with the final acceptance. It's a little bit delayed, 1 quarter to 2 quarters. And for the energy storage business, the gross margin is a decent level. We expect at least 15%, 20% gross margin. And looking forward, particularly for the ESS business out of China, and we target 70%, 80%, the ESS business next year. And in terms of revenue contribution from the energy storage business, we expect 10% to 15%. The revenue from ESS business compared to the total revenues our Jinko next year. So it's a very, we think our business is shifting from purely module business to module plus ESS next year.
Great, Charlie. Thank you very much for the color. Can you share also a little more color on your view? You've given us some color on the storage market. You shared that next year could be 6 gigawatt hours. What might the geographic shipment mix be for 2026? And how much to the U.S., how much to China, and then maybe Europe and others? Thanks.
Yeah. This year is 6 gigawatts hours, and next year is double, okay? That is the total volume. In terms of geographical distributions, and non-China, roughly, we think 70%, 80%, including United States. And United States, we are in discussing with a lot of potential customers, and it's developing, and we believe, step by step, we are getting more and more orders from U.S., but we are worried, you know, getting a lot. We have a strong pipelines, particularly I think from Europe, Latin America, and Asia Pacific.
Got it. Okay, great. Thank you. Shifting over to one more question here on the foreign entity of concern for the U.S., FEOC. Can you help us understand, you plan to, you have a big business shipping shipping solar modules to the U.S. Now you plan to ship batteries also to the U.S. Can you help us understand how you plan to comply with foreign entity of concern requirements for the U.S. market? Thanks.
Yeah. And looking for the next year, we don't believe there's a lot of, you know, kind of impact, you know, negative impact from the FEOC, let's say OBBB, you know, compliance. We are seeing a lot of, you know, safe harbor projects, particularly for the solar plus some storage, you know, projects. And we committed, you know, to from long term, and, you know, I think we reshape our supply chain, you know, globally, and including, and we are exploring options for our, you know, solar module facilities in Florida. And we think, you know, from the long term, and there is going to be, you know, demand for both FEOC and non-FEOC. And we are in the, you know, if there is some kind of development, particularly for, you know, transforming our solar module facilities in the United States to the non-FEOC entities, and we will let the investor know. But we have been in the process to discussing with potential investors.
Got it. Okay. Thank you, Charlie. I'll pass it on.
Welcome.
Your next question comes from Alan Lau with Jefferies.
Hello. This is Alan from Jefferies. Thanks for taking my question. So my first question is about the ESS business. Would like to know if there's any discussion with any of the AI data centers or hyperscaler clients, and what type of demand are they requiring? Like, are they more like 2 to 4 hours of group capability compatible demand, or it's more like even longer hours of storage requirement? Thank you.
Yeah, we think the AI-driven data center, you know, is going to put a lot of demands for the global electricity from long term. And we're, you know, our ESS teams is in discussion with potential pipelines, you know, for the data center, including U.S., Europe, and including China. But it's still, you know, it's in the, you know, in the progress, and we believe we are able to reach a significant milestone early next year.
I see. Clear. Thanks. So, in relation to the geographical breakdown, so we'd like to know if the gross margin of ESS is similar across the regions, or it should be higher in Europe or U.S. Like, how do you see the margins in different regions that you operate?
Oh, you mean the ESS margin, you know, different regions,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it's depending on different markets, and China is still a little bit low, but I think it's recovering a little bit. You know, ESS is very competitive in China. But Europe and U.S. is, you know, it's still, we think that it's still is a decent gross margin. So, you know, and the Middle East is a little bit low. And I think China and Middle East is ESS, the pricing, you know, the competitiveness, and the margin is relatively low to other regions. But we think, you know, it's still very healthy and you know, business and in the next 2 years.
Yeah, would like to know on the cost side of ESS, because I've noticed that the upstream raw materials are all the cost of raw materials are increasing or surging. Any plans to lock in any raw materials, or how's your view on different raw materials like batteries, or like even more upstream battery materials like lithium carbonate, etc.?
Yeah. We, you know, because the strong demand in the materials is likely in the upper words. And firstly, we have 5 gigawatts, you know, and battery cell capacities, and which put us relative advantage. And the second one, we partner with the key materials and, you know, suppliers. And the second one, when we negotiate contract, we did anticipate, you know, some kind of material cost, you know, upwards. So it's a combination. I think it's a little bit challenge, but we think we can manage and how to minimize the impact of the material, you know, the pricing.
I see. I think my next question is about the demand on the solar module market. So how do you see the demand growth in next year for maybe both solar and ESS? Like, what is the growth rate you see?
Yeah, for the demand side, definitely we should look in separately for both for PV and BESS, right? So for PV side, I think we are in a conservative way, we are expecting a more or less a flat year in 2026 versus 2025. The main reason is because China demand, you know, we believe it will have a drop compared with 2025, which because the weight of China demand is so high in the global demand, so which drive even with the other markets booming or other markets growth, we still expect the total demand of the globe in the PV industry for next year will be more or less flat year. However, when we look into the BESS, it is in a different scenario, right? So with more and more renewable installed, the grid needs more security for the BESS contribution. Definitely, we are seeing a sharp increase for the BESS side. That's why from the BESS, we are still keeping an optimistic opinion or expectation for next year's installation. If we need to quantize that, we think we'll be at least a 25% increase for the BESS year over year.
I see. Thanks, Gianna. Would like to know, like, what type of installation in China are you looking at? Like, because there are different numbers flowing around. Like, are you looking at low 200s or even below 200 gigawatt in China?
I am not that conservative for China, because when recently I visited a lot of our distributors and even installers in China in all the different provinces, I think most of them are still keeping an optimistic view for next year. So that, having said all those, I believe that it will be around let's say module-wise, it will be around mid 200, let's say around 250 about. And if we look into the grid connection number, it should be somewhere around low 200s.
Oh, that's very clear. Thanks a lot. I think my last question is on the buyback. Would like to know if the company would start buyback after the blackout period, which is basically this result, and how is the pace of the buyback will look like? Thank you.
You know, we monetize 3%, right, 8 shares, and I think the end of October, and we're in the process to get money out of the, China, and after the regulatory approval, and we have paid the you know, withholding tax, and we expect to get the money by the end of this month. And very soon. And for the shareholder, you know, the shareholder returns, and we commit at least $100 million a year. And we had declared dividend early this year. and we start, we bought some shares, certain shares, and I think last quarter, you know, in the middle of this year, and after the window, you know, after the earning release, and we plan to repurchase a share through out of the end of the year.
Is there like how much shares have been purchased, or like how, like will the company looking to basically buy all the remaining amount in the buyback program in the remaining 1 month?
Yes, and I think we, you know, we plan to use the proceeds, right, the monetization of these shares as the key, you know, funding, and which is available, and it's around 178 million US dollars. So I think we depending how the market move, but we will repurchase the shares by the end of this year, and roughly I think this year, you know, 100 million US dollars, and we had declared dividend, I think 50, 60 million. So that's our, you know, the base plan.
That's clear.
We
that's
will.
Yeah.
It's a year over year plan, and we next year it's roughly the same plan.
I see. That's clear. Thank you. Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Rajiv Chaudhary with Samsara Capital.
Good morning. My first question is regarding your guidance for module shipments for the fourth quarter. You know, it's a very big range, 18 to 33 gigawatts, and you have essentially kept to the same range that you gave for the full year back in early part of the year. But now we are halfway through the fourth quarter. Could you help us narrow down what the range would be for Q4 for module shipments?
Yeah, I think we will close to the lower end of the range. I think because of the regulatory requirement, we have to keep that range as before, but from the operational level, we believe the lower end of the range is more, let's say, realistic.
I see. So related to that, what do you think the global shipments of modules would be for the industry as a whole in 2025?
Well, we technically we believe from the production wise we are looking at roughly 700 gigawatts. That's the high level numbers we are estimating for the whole industry.
And do you believe that 700 gigawatts would actually have been shipped out by the industry as well, or that was just the production?
Well, I think it's more realized to a production, closer to the production side, but because every company has a slightly different ways to calculate or announce their shipment numbers, so that's why it's difficult to figure out what's the real shipment number. But production-wise, I think the number is more realistic.
I see. Okay. Moving on to another question relating to CapEx, could you give us the CapEx target for 2025 and also for 2026?
It's roughly 5 billion, you know, RMB this year and next year. And but next year, we didn't have any, you know, plan to, you know, expand, you know, capacity. And it's kind of upgraded to the next generation TOPCon technology, and it's going to have significant, you know, high-end, high-power output solar modules. We are able to provide to our customer, you know, next year roughly 60%. So
right.
With goes, you know, with price premium and relatively good margin contributions, next year quarter over quarter, the capacity for the high end upgraded high-end module capacity will be released quarter by quarter.
So Charlie, just to be clear, this year the CapEx is 5 billion RMB and next year it will be flat at 5 billion?
Yes, roughly. But next year, is, I talk about it. This year is a roughly payment of outstanding, you know, amount, you know, 5 billion. And next year, we are doing the upgrade. We are doing the upgrade existing capacities and to the next high level, you know, top-down capacity. And we foresee a lot of strong demands and with higher module price and higher gross margin contributions.
So you made a very interesting point that operating cash flow will be positive in 2025. It looks like you will be generating operating cash flow positive in 2026 as well, and maybe substantially higher than 2025 because the gross margin will be higher. Is that a correct assessment?
Yes.
That's right. And you know, we talk about firstly, I think the catalyst is first one is ESS storage business next year. We are looking to, you know, 10% to 15% revenue contributions from ESS with decent gross margin and positive net profitabilities. And second one is the module business. We have, I think, the most advanced TOPCon, you know, upgrade capacities in the industries and developed by ourselves for the technology, and which will roughly have 60% shipment of the modules coming from the next generation Jinko developed TOPCon capacities with higher, you know, gross margins. And second one, we think from the high level standards in industry, anti-involutions, you know, taking take the effect step by step, and the capacity will accelerate, you know, phase out, and leading by the, you know, on top of that industry leading self-discipline, you know, control of production volume and reasonable, you know, pricing based on the cost will take, you know, further, I think, enforcement. So combined together, I think the industry is reaching the low point and is recovering, you know, step by step. And Jinko, we are getting ready for the, you know, from the market and product perspective, and the plus, we are shifting solar plus ESS story and the business. So the basic plan next year, we are, you know, we are confident that we are able to, you know, navigate the cycles and turn to positive earnings. That's kind of the, you know, the business plan next year.
So should we, now you talked about the premium products and the fact that they've got premium pricing, but on the cost side, will your costs for these premium products will still be lower than the cost for the standard products this year? In other words, do the costs keep going down even as the price goes up?
Yes, yes. Initially, by design, the cost is a little bit higher, but a very, very small, you know, incremental cost. And but we, our R&D team, continue to, you know, to dive into the details and to try to, you know, further improve the cost. But back to your question, I think that, you know, the high end product, the cost is, it's a very, very small incremental, you know, cost increase at the beginning. But we believe over time, you know, our R&D team can, with our operational teams, will continue to improve the cost.
Final question, Charlie, on market share. In the past, in 2023 and 24, your global market share had gone up to somewhere between 15 and 16% of the global market. This year it is down a little bit, I guess partly because you have restrained production because of the pricing. Should we expect that your market share next year will go up again and maybe go up a lot more than 16% because the industry itself is consolidating? And what do you think the range for next year module shipments could be?
The consolidated market share after consolidation of the industry consolidation and the phase out of capacity, the industry, turn into the kind of a normal situation, it's for sure it's very good for Tier 1 companies. If you look at the long term, we are confident and we will continue to, penetrate the market share. And the next year is still, I think, from the top-down approach, and I think China will continue to, launch, implement the anti-involution policies. We don't expect significant, shipments increase, for the module business. But yes, it's different stories.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much.
Welcome, welcome.
Your next question comes from Philip Shen with Roth Capital Partners.
Yes, thanks for taking my follow-up question. I want to check back in with you in terms of Q4 margin outlook. What kind of solar module ASP could we see in Q4, and then what kind of margin for the overall quarter could we see? Thanks.
We expect a relatively stable, Q4 versus Q3. But ESS business is contributing more revenues, and we estimate our ESS business in fourth quarter is going to reach positive profitability levels. But the contribution is not significant, but next year is different story that we have talked about. And for the module business, we expect, relatively stable.
Okay, got it. Thanks. And then can you talk about module ASPs for Q1 and Q2 of next year? And then also the trajectory for margins, as you blend in more battery. Thanks.
Yeah, Phil, I think it's difficult to share those numbers or estimations right now because, what is happening is some of the key markets, they are still, there are, some key or some important policy is upcoming. For example, the U.S., the guidance of the FEOC or material assistance, or even upcoming 232, which will significantly impact the market prices. Like in China, there's anti-involution policies, and there's even more rumors coming out regarding the polysilicon, even to the other part of the manufacturing value chain as well. So those changes could significantly change the market price overnight. That's why we believe it's still too early to share our estimation on the prices for next year.
Okay, Gener, that makes sense. You talked about the rumors on poly. Can you give us a little bit more color on that? Thanks.
I don't have too much more to share based on there's a lot of rumors on the market or on the internet, so I don't know what you're referring to.
Yeah, I was just, you mentioned it, so I thought I would try to see if there's more color.
We are not part of the game, so I don't have too much to share with everyone. But thank you for your question.
Yep, no problem. Okay, thank you, guys. I'll pass it on.
Your next question comes from Brian Lee with Goldman Sachs.
Hey, guys. This is Tyler Bisset on for Brian. Thanks for taking our question. Just quick housekeeping question. Can you share what was D&A and CapEx in 2Q and 3Q?
You mean the absolute number of percentage, right? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, oh, sorry, like the actual number.
I think it's a financial statement. You can check out, you know, the financial statements, the R&D and the, you know, operating expenses, and we have disclosed quarter by quarter. So what would be your, you know, key question you want to explore?
D&A and CapEx in 2Q and 3Q, like the absolute numbers.
D&A. You mean the depreciation or CapEx?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Depreciation.
All right.
And then separately CapEx.
Okay. Depreciation by quarter, I think it's roughly, you know, and I think $300 million a quarter. And the CapEx, I think the first half a year, we, you know, spend roughly 2 billion RMB.
Thank you.
Okay.
That is our last question, and that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.